400 years. The Babylonian invasion had come, and they had been exiled, and then they came back to have their temple. They had a few prophets right around that time, and then there was a 400-year silence of God. No prophet spoke a word in God's name all during that 400 years, and what a sad time that would have been. And so they were looking forward to the Messiah coming. They were trusting that God's word was true. And in Psalm 118, we find that it talks about what this was going to look like, starting at verse 22. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was God, the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Do I get an amen to that? Let's rejoice in this day. Amen. And then it goes on in verse 25, save now, I pray, O Lord. That's a version, a variant of what they were saying when Jesus came in, saying, Hosanna. Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Do I get an amen to that? God is the light. Praise the Lord. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Amen. Amen. Give me an amen out there. His mercy endures forever. That includes right now. Amen. So help us to keep our eyes on the Lord during this time. Now, as we see Jesus and him coming into Jerusalem, I know I'm probably a little out of order with my notes there, but you kind of get the idea. I wanted to make sure that we understand what prefaces all of this. But the triumphal entry, what kind of king is this that's coming into Jerusalem? Because we know that he came to save now. We know that he came to heal us and also to bring us prosperity. But I can tell you at that moment, the people that were surrounding that pathway into Jerusalem, they were looking for a different kind of prosperity. Do I get an amen to that? They were wanting to be saved from the Romans. Guys, I'm going to tell you today, the United States of America is sometimes looking for the wrong kind of prosperity. Do I get an amen to that? But what we need is Jesus himself. He is prosperity. Amen? So let's think about what this triumphal entry and him coming in Jerusalem. I imagine that this had to be his father allowing him to have a little encouragement right before the hardest moment, right before that moment that he had been prepared for, that moment that he knew he was coming to Jerusalem for. But let's just talk here just a little bit. This is going to be a reading that kind of combines some from Matthew 21, some from Mark 11, some from Luke 19, and some from John 12 that's been blended together so that it puts it into time order for us. And so I'm just going to read as y'all just kind of listen and absorb. It says, the next day Jesus sent two disciples saying to them, go into the village opposite you. And as soon as you have entered it, you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her, on which no one has sat. Loose them, bring them to me, and if anyone says to you, why are you doing this? You shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them here. So they went their way and found the colt tied by the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. Imagine that. It was exactly how Jesus said. Do I get an amen? He knows what he's doing. Even right down to the little details. Amen? So, but some of those who stood there, the owners, said to them, what are you doing, loosing the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of him. Just as Jesus had commanded, so they let them go. They brought the donkey and the colt to Jesus, laid their clothes on them, and they set Jesus on the colt. Now remember, this was a colt that had never been ridden. I'm going to tell you, this just shows the miracles of Jesus. Yet another miracle, that Jesus could sit on this colt would be calm for him, because this colt had been prepared for this purpose. God formed this colt for this reason. He knew the exact reason that he had done this for. Now, another thing I want you to think about, this sends a pretty clear message. Does a person look real tough and strong when they're riding on a colt that stands, a donkey's colt that stands about yay tall? I mean, a grown man sitting on a colt that isn't a very large animal, I think he's definitely making a statement. The prosperity they were looking for was a warlord leader who was going to come in and straighten out this Roman problem, and Jesus came in a very humble way. That colt was an animal that represented peace, and a king that rode on a colt was a king of peace, and he is our king of peace still today. Amen? So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Fear not, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you lowly and setting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." So for those who had read and believed the Old Testament, they would understand what this sign was meaning at this point, to some degree, to some small degree. But they wouldn't understand the magnitude of what this meant in him saving us from our sins. It goes on in John, in this part of the passage, he says his disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him and they had done these things to him. And a very great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to him, to meet him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Therefore, the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of his tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. For this reason, the people also met him, because they heard that he had done this sign. The Pharisees, therefore, said among themselves, "You see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the whole world has gone after him." So as we are happy and we are thrilled to worship our King, I can tell you there's others in the world that they get jealous and upset. They don't like it. They don't like your faith. They don't like it that we can have joy even in the midst of a struggle, because we know who our King is. Our King rules the world. He rules the universe. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen? And so we can have faith and joy during these times. But it's not going to make everybody happy. And you know what? We just can't worry too much about that. It's okay, right? And so he goes on, and it says, "Then as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples who went before and those who followed began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord! Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' But he answered and said to them, 'I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out.'" Amen? Woo! This whole earth praises God, even the stones. And so we just want to praise the Lord this morning. I think he's pleased with the fact that y'all came. I know it was a little sacrifice. I know that we don't get to feel the warm hugs of our brothers and sisters and the handshakes. I know we all long for that. But I can tell you, we're here one in spirit. Amen? And I think God is blessed by that. If we don't praise him, the stones will have to do it. But somebody's going to praise the Lord, and let it be us. And so it is our joy. And so Jesus, he began to draw near. He saw the city. And I want you to hear what he does next. He wept over it. This comes from the Gospel of Luke. He wept over it, saying, "If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that would make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation." Guys, this is the time we need to be proclaiming Jesus all the more within our world, within our nation, and all around. Because I'm going to tell you, people are scared. I don't know if y'all have noticed, but people are frightened by this. We don't know what turn this virus can take. We don't know how many liberties our government might want to take away from us, even beyond this thing, because you do know there's wicked people in power, amen? And they would love to take an opportunity like this to try to take more of your freedom away to where you can't do the things that you're used to doing. And there's a lot of people that are frightened on both sides of the aisle and don't know what to do. And I just want you to know, you turn to Jesus, you keep your eyes on Jesus, you keep following Jesus, you keep remembering the day that He visited you and gave you salvation, and don't you ever forget it, because He's got your eternity, He's got you right now, folks. Jesus has got this thing, amen? Let's just keep our eyes on the Lord. He's going to get us through this. And so I want you to know the greatest thing Jesus wants to find is faith. That's the greatest thing. It saddens Him. It made Him weep. We don't find many times that Jesus wept in the Scripture. But it made Him weep, the fact that so many of the people of Jerusalem were missing the point. The point is Jesus. He is always the point. He's the whole point why He brought us into this world, was so He could save us and preserve us for heaven, and heaven is forever. He is the point. And so let's keep our eyes on Him. Let's not miss the point. Right now, you know why He's allowed the sickness to come? It's because He wants people to know He is the point. There's others that are going to try to terrify everybody with this. And I've got reason to have caution, guys. I'm with you 100% on the caution. But I can tell you I'm not terrified, because I know who makes this universe hold together is Jesus Christ, and He's still doing it today. I believe His purpose in all of this is because He wants to turn many hearts back to Him in faith, that they might be saved. And so let's keep our eyes on Jesus. Let's preach Jesus. Let's continue to encourage people in the name of the Lord. Before I came out to preach to you today, I was answering phone calls, and one of which was a man who's very interested in wanting to follow Jesus now. And so I want to praise God, and hopefully Vernon is listening now from his home. And so I just want to encourage Vernon, you trust Jesus, Vernon. If you'll trust Him with your everything right now, He reserves a place in heaven for you always and forever, because He's already done the one thing that needed to be done to save us. He's died on the cross, but hey, He didn't stay dead. He rose on the third day, amen? And He is in heaven right now. Praise the Lord. Let's back to the triumphal entry. It made Him sad that they were missing the point, but guys, you've got the point. That's why you're listening. That's why you're agreeing today. And when He had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" So the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee." And Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. Then the blind and the lame came to Him in the temple, and He healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that He did, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant and said to Him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants you have perfected praise?" So when He had looked around at all things, He left them and went out of the city to Bethany, as the hour was already late, and He lodged there with the 12. Guys, I want you to know Jesus come riding into that city of Jerusalem, and He was already a victorious King. Because you see, whenever God has purpose to do something, He's going to do it, and nothing's going to stop Him. Amen? Death ain't going to stop Him. Nothing's going to stop Him. He can do it. And in fact, when Jesus died on that cross, you know, His disciples were all thinking, "Oh my goodness, it's all over. We must have lost, and everything is for shame." But here's the thing, guys. The third day, He already knew He was rising from the dead. He already told them. And so we want to praise God for that. But I want you to know that the very next thing that Jesus does is He's getting ready to go back into Jerusalem the next day, and He had a purpose in mind. First of all, I want you to know The temple belonged to him all along. That temple didn't belong to the Jews and all this like they thought. It actually was his temple. I want you to remember now, there's not a temple in Jerusalem because it's not needed. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit now. You are, every blood-bought believer in Jesus Christ is his temple now. And you see, along his way to go back into the temple, there we see a little account here in Mark chapter 11. This is on your sheet of notes. And I just went ahead and printed out a couple verses of that scripture. Now the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. Now I want you to understand, a lot of times we read that, we hear that it was not the season for figs, we go, okay, so there shouldn't have been any figs on it. But what you need to understand about the fig trees from this region and their climate, if it had leaves on it, it would if it was a fruitful tree, it would have at least a little bit of fruit on it. At least a little bit of fruit on it. Or at least have blooms on it showing that it was going to be fruitful, because these trees were like ever-bearing trees. And so they would bear at least twice a year. So they either had blooms for fruit, or they would have fruit, and so it would have something coming on it. I want you to know that this fig tree is representing his people of that day, the Jewish people. And whenever he came by this fig tree on the way into Jerusalem, on the way to cleanse his temple that belonged to him, he noticed this fig tree didn't have any fruit. And in response, Jesus said, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." And the disciples heard it. I want you to know that fig tree actually just was done at that point. You see, if Jesus ever withdraws his grace, we can't do anything. It's by his grace that we minister. It's by his grace that the church exists. It's by his grace that we are his people. So let us never turn our backs on gracious Jesus and know where our power comes from. Unfortunately, Jerusalem had done that, the Jewish people. And it was time. It was time for the new covenant to be established. And so therefore, Jews don't get saved by being Jews anymore. Jews get saved by being fulfilled Jews in their Messiah Christ, by accepting Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You see, the reason why he had come at that point in time was because the Jewish traditions were fruitless. And it was time to bring forth real fruit. It was time for him to be that fruitfulness that would rise again, and then he would give his fruitfulness to his people. If you want to be fruitful, I can say, you just continue to cling close to Jesus. That's where our fruitfulness comes from. From there, as we follow along in Matthew 21, verses 12 through 16, then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of thieves." Then blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Guys, that's what he wanted all along. That's what he wanted all along, was to be healing those who needed healing, to be ministering to the people. And they had turned it into a supermarket for making money off of the sacrifices, and it grieved his spirit. Guys, I'm going to tell you, he's turning the church upside down right now, isn't he? He's making us reprioritize and make sure we're really doing what we're doing for the right reasons. Because you see, Jesus wants to make sure that we're being fruitful in his power and that we're bearing the right kind of fruit. What did he call the church to do today? To make disciples of all nations. Amen. We need to continue to be about that business as we look forward. If we don't, he'll cleanse us. And he's got ways of doing it that we can't even imagine. And I think this is just a little tip of the iceberg right now. He wants us to hear him. He wants us to turn to him. He wants us to depend on him. Look at what he does here in the temple. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant and said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And this is where we have already read that quote about, out of the mouths of these babes, he perfects his praise. And so I want you to know, guys, You keep ministering. You keep loving. That's what Jesus wants. How do you do it? It looks a little different now than it did 2 weeks ago. Amen. But what we're doing is we're figuring it out as we go. Things are changing, but the message never changes. The message is still the same. You see, I think that he is cleansing his temple right now. Guys, this is a wonderful time. This week coming up is known of as Passion Week or Holy Week, and it's the time leading up to Easter. And you know, I've heard some say in the public sphere, this will be the first time we won't be able to worship in the United States for Easter. Brothers and sisters, I claim to you right now, if you're still drawing breath, you still be worshiping, and that will not be true. Amen? We just need to continue to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. He is the one. And you know what? He's checking his church right now to see if we're going to be fruitful. We got to be fruitful. It looks a little different right now. In fact, our message, you know, most of the time, I'm going to kind of show you a little illustration of this. Most of the time on a Wednesday night, whenever I give my message upstairs in this building that's behind me, you know, sometimes we don't have a whole lot of people show up. I might preach to 12 people. Most of the time it's probably average. And it's worth it to me. I'll be honest with you. If there's just one more person that'll show up with me, then the message that I have prepared, I believe, has been done in faith, and it's for that person that shows up, and I praise the Lord every time. But you know how many views that we had on the video I posted the other day? I don't know what it is now, but it was over 200 the last time I checked. 200 people. Now, they may not have watched the whole video, but they at least checked it out. And so what I want you to understand is this is just for a period of time that we have to do it this way, but let's keep doing what we know to do, and that's preaching the gospel and loving people in Jesus' name. Let's keep ministering. Let's keep being fruitful because, you see, Jesus tells us in 1 Peter 4, verse 16 through 19, and I believe he's talking about persecution here, and this is a little different, I understand. This is a sickness that's threatening people, and we don't want to be a threat to other people, right? Give me a horn hog on that one. All right, praise the Lord. I am not afraid of you giving it to me, but I am concerned about me giving it to you or any of us taking it to others. And so our desire for doing church this way is so that we don't pass it around to other people. But let me tell you, I'll be honest with you, not getting to shake your hands, not getting to hug you guys, not getting to be together is suffering to me. It makes me sad on the inside. I can tell you, as a pastor, I have cried about few things whenever I've had to make a decision as a leader of this church. I've been here for 11 years, but whenever we had to decide to cancel our services and start trying to figure it out in a different way, I did shed a tear over that. Because this is my favorite day of the week, amen? And all of our people are saying the same thing. I've had little children come up to me and say, Sunday's my favorite day of the week. And so it really hurts us to not be able to love on one another. But just think of it like this. It's like a temporary suffering. We're suffering for a time. But you see, let's be in anticipation of when that time's over. And we get to come back together. Let's keep our eyes on Christ. Let's be faithful. It says, yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, 1 Peter 4, 16 through 19, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin in the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good as to a faithful Creator. Brothers and sisters, while we suffer through this for this undetermined amount of time, I don't even know how long it's going to be. I'm hoping April 30th they'll begin to open things back up, but I can't guarantee you anything. Only God knows. But what I do know is what we need to be doing while we're waiting is keep praising God, keep doing good, keep being the church no matter where you are, because if you're a blood-bought believer in Jesus Christ, you are the church. You are the body of Christ. I can tell you, we've had a few calls of people that have needed Bibles. We've had a call of an individual that needed food delivered to his house and things of that nature. And yes, I want to be safe in how I go about it, But I'm thankful that I'm in a position that I'm not really high risk. And so I'm able to take things and drop them off for other people. If you need something delivered to your house because you're not able to get out, let me know. You can leave it out on your porch for a little while. You can even sanitize it after I leave or however you want to take care of it. But if you need to stay in, I respect that. And I say this to all of our brothers and sisters that are watching online. I totally respect that because this thing seems to be pretty contagious. But I can tell you something, guys. It is my aim and goal to glorify God through this time. And I believe y'all feel the same way. So let's just do that together. Let's stay unified. You know, I've been getting reports of churches having all kinds of trouble within the church over this issue. This one says this, and this one says that. Next thing you know, you get a big split and things going the wrong way. Families are having problems. I believe Satan's just trying to divide, and we just shouldn't let him. Amen. I'm going to love each one. Anyways, that's right, brothers and sisters. Let's keep loving anyways. You know, we may not always agree on every little bitty fine point, but we can agree on the main thing. Jesus is Lord. Let's keep our eyes on Him. You say, Jesus asked this one important question. He said in Luke chapter 18, He said that someday He was coming back. And He said, a parable to him. He said that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. You know what we need to be doing during this time? Praying and not losing heart. Keep our eyes on Christ. I want you to know this coming Saturday, right before Easter, is being set aside as a day of prayer and fasting for our nation. Guys, I would encourage you, I would implore you, join me, join people all over the United States to pray and fast for our nation this Saturday. The Saturday leading up to Resurrection Sunday. And I know every Sunday we celebrate the resurrection. But here's the deal, guys. There was one particular Sunday that they went to that tomb and they found out it was empty. And I can tell you the Saturday before that Sunday had to be the saddest day in those folks' lives. You know what fasting represents? Afflicting our soul, being broken, being humble. And God in His Word said in 2 Chronicles 7:14 that when pestilence comes upon the land because we've been rebellious, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins. Pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. Guys, it's time for our nation to repent and it's got to start in the household of God. Let us be the ones to lead the way by humbling ourselves on Saturday and every day, honestly, but in a special way on Saturday. Pray, don't lose heart, saying there was a certain city. Now, I love this part. Listen to this from Luke chapter 18. You're going to love this parable, and then we're going to close. There was a certain city, in a certain city, a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. All right. Can you imagine being that judge for a minute? I just want to say, nobody can be persistent like a woman who's being described like this. Do I get an amen from all the ladies in the cars? You guys know how to be persistent, all right? And one who's really in need, and she's really needing justice, and she knows what she needs, she's going to be persistent. Jesus wants us to learn something from this. He's a good teacher. He's the perfect teacher. So let's see what we have to learn. Okay, so she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out to him night to day? though he bears long with them, I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Guys, be persistent in your prayer. Keep praying. And then he says this, nevertheless, and this is my question I'm going to leave you with. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Guys, this is my prayer I'm going to leave you with as you leave this place, that you live by faith. That you live by your faith, because I'm going to tell you, even if Jesus comes back today, here's my prayer, that if he comes to my heart, my home, my life, this church, he will find faith. And I praise God that in faith you've come and displayed that faith today. So I want to pray for you that your faith would be strengthened. Let's pray. Dear Father, I pray for all the folks that are here, for all the folks that are listening, for anybody in this realm, that you would bless us with true faith. Lord, thank you. Thank you that we can trust you during these perilous times. Thank you that you haven't changed a bit. Thank you that you're still on your throne. Thank you, Jesus. You are Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. You are over everything in this universe. You are King. And so, Lord, we look to you, and we just want to express our supreme faith, and we're going to exercise that faith because it came from you. Lord, it's supreme because you gave it to us. It was pure when you gave it to us. Let us do nothing to defile that faith, and let us exercise that faith by the way we live. I think faith is lived out. It's a free gift, but it's got to be lived out. So let us live it out now. Let us show others our faith. Let us converse with others that might be frightened and help to extend that faith and encourage them with the same faith. And Lord, we know to all who believe in you in faith, we are saved. Death isn't going to harm us. Death will only take us into your presence to live with you forever. We have nothing to fear. So, Lord, I pray that you would bless us to just continue to live out that faith. Bless this church to continue to be a church of faith, and bless each one of these folks. And, Lord, I'm just gonna extend prayer for each one, that if anyone here or anyone within the hearing of this message realizes right now they're not saved, they don't know for sure where they go whenever they die, that they want to know more, that they would get in touch with me somehow, that they would pray to you and just say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner and I deserve hell, but I believe Jesus died on the cross and paid for my sins. And I believe that he rose again on the third day. And I want to trust you, Jesus, as my Lord, my boss over my life from this day forward. I want to give my heart to you. And Lord, to any who truly pray that from the depth of their heart and mean it and then go on to follow you, I have no reason to believe anything other than they won't be in heaven with you forever, because that's exactly what your word says. So Lord, please, if any of them want to get in touch with me later on after this prayer, I'm going to announce my phone number to anybody who might want to know it. But Lord, I pray you'd put it in their heart that they can call me, and I will help point them to you. In Jesus' name, amen.